Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what would it take to get you to twirl like the girls were twirling, or to dance, or to sing? Because I have news for you today that should make you do that, right? And in fact, we get news every week that should make you want to do that, right? We learn that Jesus loves us, that God forgives us, that we are people made in the image of God, and that is all good news. But the news I have for you today is a little different, but it's still worthy of dancing and singing for. Now, I know for some of you, that is a little uncomfortable. I've been at plenty of wedding dances where I've heard people, usually men, but not always, say, "You're never getting me on that dance floor," right? So if you can't dance, and I know also people will say, "You know, I'm never going to sing in public," right? Wiggle a little finger, or like raise an eyebrow, or some sort of emotion, because the good news that I have for you today is this: God is God, and you are not. And let me tell you, if you really stop and think about it, that is worth celebrating. Somebody recently said to me, the best thing about God is that the job is already taken. We don't need to be God. And that is worth a dance and a song and an instrument, worth joy in our lives. Because that means the world doesn't depend on us. Oh, we are called to be a part of the world. But things don't have to rest only on our shoulders. That the world goes on when we make a mistake. That the world goes on when we take a vacation from work. That the world goes on when we mess up. We are not God, and we don't need to carry it all. And in fact, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble, I think, when we mess that up and think we are God, or responsible for too much, or try to control God. This story for today is a great story. The beginning is a little, it's kind of just boring, actually, just to be honest about it. It's just kind of David taking on his kingship. And some of you may know the name of David. He's the one who slung a stone at Goliath. He was anointed king. But without going into, there's a lot of chapters of the history, there was another king at the time, King Saul. And at this point in the story, King Saul has died, and King David is able to become a legitimate king. And he's going to bring these two groups, Israel and Judah, back together. And to do that, he's going to take the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, some of you, if you're my age, you watched Raiders of the Lost Ark growing up, so that's your understanding of what the Ark of the Covenant is. Right? But it was a place where the people of Israel believed God resided. And so they were going to take it to Jerusalem, where eventually a big temple, Solomon would build a big temple for this ark. But before this story, the ark was just hanging out in some guy's house. I mean, really, it was just like sitting in some guy's house. And so David went and got it, and is taking it to Jerusalem. With 30,000 men, it said, so we don't even know, were there women and children, probably, lots and lots of people singing and dancing and celebrating because they were with God. And if that were the end of the story, I would just say today's whole message is about how we should celebrate in the presence of God. And that is an awesome message, because we should. But like many times, these readings are assigned to us, and they always cut it off before the good part. So I want to read you what happens right after the singing and dancing. I'm going to pick up this story right where it leaves off. They're singing, they're dancing, they've got the ark on this oxen cart that they're pulling along. And then something happens. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah's like one of the guys that was walking along beside the ark. Uzzah reached out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God.
David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah. So that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care, into the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now I know some of you are saying, "Yeah, Pastor, that's great, but we would have preferred to know the story without that part of the story," right? This guy reaches out, touches the ark, drops dead. David freaks out and basically, again, just takes it to some dude's house along the way. Like, "Here, God, can you hold on to the ark for us?" Like, what is that about? We don't want to hear about a God who's going to strike someone dead. But the more I thought about this story, I thought, you know, these things are connected. Because the people were celebrating and they were so happy because they had God with them. And I keep thinking about that scene from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or if you've read the book or you've seen the movie, the people, the kids that want to get into the factory have to get a golden ticket. And if they get the golden ticket, they can go in the factory. And there's a song in the movie, "I've got the golden ticket, I've got the golden ticket," right? And I keep thinking about that with the ark. Like, maybe the people are like, "Ha ha, we've got God," right? I can't sing it in the same Charlie and the Chocolate Factory song, but they are so excited because they have God. But I think the second part of the story is so important, because I think what God shows them here is, no, God can't be gotten. You can't get God. God can't be contained in this little ark. And you know what else? The oxen is shaking this ark. "You don't need to protect me. You don't need to catch me. I am still powerful." And I think, you know, if we take away kind of the horror of what this story is with this poor guy dying, this is a message that's given over and over again in Exodus and Deuteronomy. It's God constantly saying, "I am powerful. I am the one. I have power. Do you believe me?" And the people always get it wrong when they forget that and think they are the ones with all of the power and that they are the ones who are in control. And for David and the other kings, Saul's demise really came, the king before David, because he left God. He forgot about God. He thought he could do it all on his own. And David, in his life and ministry, will experience the same thing. And all the other leaders of Israel, when they are remembering who God is and asking God what they should do, things go well. When they think they know only on their own, things don't go so well. So different for us, really. If you want to get me really riled up, can start talking about politicians and other people in power who claim God for their own, who use God's name to, like, boost themselves up, who aren't necessarily people of faith, but know that if they drop God's name, people will vote for them. And people do that. They do. That is using God, right? That's thinking you have more power than God. Politicians, people in power do that. But we do it too sometimes, don't we? We think we know what we should do, and then we invite God into our plans to make them happen. But that's backwards. What we're supposed to do is listen for God, recognize how powerful God is, and ask God what we should do. We do the same thing. You know, when we lived in the South, and especially because there were a lot of evangelicals there, people would often say, "I don't hear it as much up here. You know, Jesus really put it on my heart that I should do this. Jesus really put it on my heart that I should tell you this." And I believe Jesus put stuff on people's hearts. But there were times when I heard that and I thought, yeah, I'm not sure Jesus put that on your heart. I think you wanted it or you felt the need to say it, because that was kind of mean. Or that was a little unnecessary, and I don't think Jesus really thought that
But if you say it,
then all of a sudden, you've got some credibility, right? Because Jesus put it on your heart. We're not supposed to use God for our own ends. We don't do that. God instead invites us to listen to what God would have us do in our lives and to what God would have us be in the world. God is God, and we are not. And that should be so refreshing, because I started thinking about all of the times that I get myself worked up, and it's most often because I do think I'm God, or more important than I really am. And I don't even mean like my ego is going like, you know, like I'm standing up pretending I'm some all that, right? But think about all the ways that you do this.
So I missed a meeting on Tuesday. I did counsel, and I had double booked myself.
And I missed another meeting, and it was with the synod.
And, you know, bad enough. I meant to send an email. I didn't. My bad. But I also didn't look at the agenda because I wasn't going to that meeting, and it turned out I was supposed to do devotions at that meeting. Right? So, oops. You know, big oops. Now, that's the kind of thing that, you know, everybody at the meeting was like, oh, we're just glad you're okay. No big deal. You can do devotions the next time. Things happen. But I kept myself awake that night, because I felt so guilty and bad about it. Now, I think, you know, feeling guilty and to be a responsible person has a place in the world. But the truth is, that meeting went on without me. They did just fine with their devotion. Everything was okay. I'm not God. I wasn't responsible for that. Right? And those kind of things happen all of the time. I think about the church, right? The church, this is my life, this is my calling, and the church across the United States is shrinking. It just is, and when you see the trajectories of kind of where numbers are headed, it can be a little overwhelming. And then I think that somehow I need to fix it, right? I need to fix it. Well, guess what? Again, I'm not God. Right? God is bigger than this church. What I am called to do, and what you and we are all called to do, is to remain faithful. But it's not our job to fix it. God is bigger than it. Think about in your own families how many times you hurt for the people that you love and you just want to fix it, but you can't. And often that is when we realize how little control we actually have. And those are the times we are forced to put it in the hands of God, because we realize it is just bigger than us. I have a family member who suffers from alcoholism. And I watch her and I wish I could change something for her and for her family. But that's bigger than me. And God is bigger than the alcoholism. And I don't know what will happen, right? She could die. She could. But then I have to believe that God is bigger than that too, and will hold her and care for her and love her. And my heart will be broken. But then I have to believe that God is bigger than my broken heart and will hold me and care for me and love me. I am not God, and I need someone more powerful than me. You know, I think we often get it wrong, and I find myself saying, I do it myself. I say, oh, God needs us to. God doesn't need us to. God invites us to. But God is more powerful than that. It should be flipped around. We need God, right? God doesn't need us. We need God. God is the one that is throwing the party we are invited to. We're not. God made this life for us in all of its beauty and joy and fragility and sadness. And God invites us in, reminding us that we are called to be a part of it, to listen. I don't want to minimize that we are called to be people of God, because we are, but we are called to listen
and then live in a way that the power of God can flow through us. We can't contain God in an ark. We can't carry God on some oxen cart. God is bigger than that. And thank God. Because this party that God throws, we have all been invited to, and all we need to do is show up. Show up and listen and live in the love that God has brought to us. You are not God. You don't need to protect God. The world doesn't rest on your shoulders. So celebrate, because that is good news. You are free to dance and invite everyone.